Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
So we're in our series called 40:10, where we're looking at the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension to heaven, and then the 10 days from that up until Pentecost. And we're in the second half of that. We're headed towards Pentecost. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. It says this in Acts chapter 1. This is Dr. Luke writing. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this may seem a little bit out of place if you've jumped into Acts, and that's where you've started. You see Jesus talking about waiting in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you'll notice that Jesus says in verse 4, which you have heard me speak about. So in order to really understand what Jesus is talking about, this promise of the Holy Spirit, what is he talking about? We need to do one of those things that they do in TV series, where you have a character and they're speaking, and then you'd really like to know, how did they get to be this person? And then we have a flashback. Yeah, we go back in time to see their origin story or whatever. Some TV shows do it well, some TV shows do it terribly. You're like, please stop doing this. But we need to do a flashback. So we're in Acts chapter 1, but we need to flash back to John chapter 14. So this is in the week just before Jesus goes to the cross. He's having a conversation with his disciples. I do encourage you to read John chapter 14. It's such a good chapter as compared to the rest of the Bible, which isn't that great. Obviously, the whole thing is good. John chapter 14. I'll just read and stop waffling. John 14, 15 to 17. Jesus says this to his disciples: if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Interesting. Same chapter, verses 24 to 27. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus tells them about the Holy Spirit, and he refers to the Holy Spirit. He calls him, in one version it says, another helper. Another helper. I don't want you to think that the Holy Spirit only arrived at Pentecost, because that's not true. Yeah, Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes in power, and we will talk about that in a few weeks on Pentecost Sunday in 3 weeks. But that's not, the Holy Spirit was not hiding behind some heavenly tree and then on Pentecost jumped out, here I am, and now you have me forever. The Holy Spirit was working all the way through scriptures. In fact, right at the beginning of Genesis, it says the Spirit of the Lord hovered above the waters. So we know that all the way through scripture, through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has been working. And in fact, Jesus says in John 14, he says, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's what he says to his disciples. So the Holy Spirit was already living and working in them. But this Pentecost Sunday that we're coming to is a different thing altogether. It is power. We'll talk about that. I'm excited about it. I really want to do it today. But we'll hold back and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But the Holy Spirit that Jesus refers to, he says that phrase, another helper. I will give you another helper, which is an interesting phrase that he uses. In fact, the word there is parakletos in the Greek, and it means lots of different things. Helper is one translation of that. Some versions may say comforter. Some versions may say advocate. The Amplified Version helps us with that because it says in the Amplified Version, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And then in brackets, it says comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. So it opens it up for us, which is why I like the Amplified Version. So I want to talk us through those things, those names, those titles, because I want us to have a greater appreciation, not so we know the Holy Spirit better because he lives in us, but we have a greater appreciation of what is happening in us. For those who believe and for those who have received his presence, I want you to better understand what is happening in you and what is available to you because the Holy Spirit has been promised to us. So another helper. I remember reading this story when I was a kid, and I was so amused by it that I still remember it because I am not a kid anymore, but it was a long time ago. Apparently, the London Zoo wanted to get a pair of mongooses. That's how you say it, yeah? But they wanted a pair of mongooses, and they had to write to ask for a pair of mongooses. This is what a mongoose looks like, if you're not sure. But in a typical... Please forgive me. But in a typical British manner, they weren't sure if they should say, can we have two mongooses or can we have two mongoose? They didn't know which of the two to go for. And so instead of just asking, British are just so good at finding ways around things. Yeah. So they wanted a pair, and this is how they asked for it. They said, dear sirs, will you please send us a mongoose? And while you're at it, can you send us another one? You just don't want to get things wrong. And while you're at it, send us another one. They didn't say, send us a mongoose and also send us a bear. They said, send us a mongoose and send us another one. And when Jesus says to his disciples, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. He didn't say, I will give you a helper. He says, another helper. And the Greek word there means another like me. Another like me. The same kind. Jesus is making the point to us, and I want to make the point to us, that the Holy Spirit is not some force that is extra or some tinglies that happen. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead and is God, God's presence working in our lives. Another like me. And so there are a few names that can be translated from this concept that Jesus is telling us about. And let's look at them. The first one is comforter. Comforter. Your idea of comfort may look like this. A sun lounger, little drink with a big umbrella in it. I don't understand those things. It just gets in the way. What's all this shrapnel? It's faff. Get the faff out of my drink, please. That might be your idea of comfort. So your idea of comfort might be a recliner chair. That's all you want. Just a chair where I can put my legs up. Or just a really comfy duvet. I shouldn't have said that because now you're thinking about being in bed. But that is not the idea when Jesus says and refers to the Holy Spirit as a comforter. I don't want you to think that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, that everything will be comfortable, because everything most definitely will not be comfortable. The fact that he is called the Comforter is because he would be right with us wherever we are. Right with us wherever we are. Because Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as another like me, if we want to see examples of how this can work in our own lives, we've got not very far to look at. We can just look at Jesus. And I'm recalling the time where Jesus gets the message that his friend Lazarus was sick, and he says, it's okay. And then 4 days later, he arrives, and Lazarus had died. And everyone is upset. Everyone is crying, they're weeping, they're mourning, because this person that they loved has died. And so it's not a place of joy, a place of celebration. It's a place of incredible sadness. And Jesus knew what he was going to do, because he told his disciples that he referred to Lazarus. He said, he's fallen asleep, but I must go and wake him. So Jesus knew what he was going to do. So Jesus didn't rock up. Everyone is upset and say, whoa, 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 everyone. Let's get it together, because something great is going to happen. He could have. And he did do something great. But what did he do? The Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus, in that moment, entered into their pain and entered into their suffering and their grief, because he is our comforter. He entered into their suffering and their grief because he is our comforter. And we have access to the Holy Spirit in us, who provides comfort for us in those moments where we just don't know where else to turn. And we just don't know how to express what's happening in us. And he brings that sense of comfort to us. I can tell you that personally in my life, in probably the worst moment of my life, a friend sent me a message to say, how was it today? I had to do something that was horrible. And a friend sent me a message to say, how was it today? And I sent him a message back that said, it was horrible, but the Prince of Peace was there. Because it was horrible, and that was maybe a story for another day, it was horrible, but I still sensed God's presence. I still sensed God's presence, because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And I want to encourage you that no matter what you go through, no matter what you face, if you are someone who pursues Jesus, who knows Jesus, and has the Holy Spirit living in you, then you can turn to him. Regardless of what's happening on the outside, on the inside, something different can be your experience, because he is our comforter. The second word that could be translated here is advocate. Advocate. And if we look at Jesus and his ministry, this is basically what he did. Yeah, he stood up for all of the people that no one else was standing up for. He would interact with the lepers. He would, you know, when that leper said, I want to be healed, Jesus reached out and touched him. I've talked about that before. What a mind-blowing thing that would have been for the leper and for everyone around who was watching, Jesus touching a leper. You just didn't do that. The fact that Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, you just didn't do that. But Jesus was making a point that these people are important. These people are important. The very hated taxman of the time, Zacchaeus, who in their idea of society, in their idea of the way that things should be, who had betrayed his nation as far as the nation was concerned, so that he could work for the Romans to take taxes from the Jewish people. They did not like him at all. But Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. I am coming to your house to spend some time with you. And he has an impact on Zacchaeus that changes him forever, because Jesus was an advocate for those who were the outcast, the poor, the lost. He was an advocate for them. And the whole idea is an advocate is that you are there for someone else. And when Jesus says the Holy Spirit, the advocate, it is a reminder that he is for you. He is for you. Another job or another word for an advocate is a lawyer. You have a lawyer inside you. Not so you can be good at arguing. That's not the point. You have a lawyer inside you so that when the enemy whispers stuff to you, you have someone to stand up and say, that is not true. That's not true. That's not the way that things are. These accusations are not true. These accusations will not land, because I have an argument and a defense against everything that you are saying. We have an advocate who works for us and who reminds us that he is for us. He is our comforter, and he is our advocate. The third thing, and I shared some of this on Thursday night in the worship evening, is intercessor. Intercessor. Intercessor is a funny word. It means to pray for or to engage with on behalf of someone else. And the idea of Jesus being an intercessor or Holy Spirit being an intercessor is an interesting one. But just recently, in last week actually, I was reading just in my daily devotional time, and I came across a verse that just helped me to understand a little bit. So let me paint the picture for you. We had a look at John chapter 21. Helen did an excellent job with that, where Jesus meets the disciples on the beach, but particularly meets Peter and has a conversation with Peter. And I was thinking about Peter, and I was thinking about his love for Jesus. He so loved Jesus. He was so part of the group of the disciples. He was the feisty one, the one who would just get into trouble, the one who would shoot his mouth off before he thought about what he was going to say. He was the guy who got out of the boat and walked on water. None of the other disciples did that. He was that guy. And I thought about how crushed he would have been when he realized that he had betrayed Jesus. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years. He'd seen some crazy stuff. He'd done some crazy stuff. And he had promised Jesus that he would not deny him, that he would not betray him. He had promised Jesus these things. And then there is that moment where 3 times he denies that he knows Jesus. And the Bible says at the end of that he left and he wept bitterly. He would have been crushed. Absolutely crushed. And I guess you would understand if Peter walked away from it all after that. I'm done. I am totally done. I can't be part of this anymore because I am broken. There's no coming back from this, what I have done. We could understand if that was Peter's experience. But it wasn't his experience. And I think it wasn't his experience for one reason. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, before any of this happened, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." I have prayed for you. Imagine hearing that from Jesus' mouth. I have prayed for you. I think this is the reason. This is the reason why what happened to Peter did not ultimately crush him. Because Jesus prayed for him. Because the intercessor interceded for him. And here's an interesting verse. Well, before I get to that verse, Jesus has that encounter with Peter in John chapter 21 on the beach, and has that conversation that Helen took us through, where Jesus essentially restores Peter. And here is Peter writing in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Think about what he's been through. This is what Peter says. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." This is a man speaking from experience. This is a man speaking from experience because he has been through a time where he walked away, where he knew that he blew it, and where Jesus interceded for him and engaged with him. The Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. And there are times in your life where the Holy Spirit living in you will be interceding on your behalf, will be communicating with the Father on your behalf. And Jesus is in heaven communicating with the Father on your behalf. On your behalf. Not on the church's behalf. On your behalf. Sometimes these things are easy for us to believe as a kind of a corporate thing for the church. But as an individual, I want you to understand today that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you on your behalf. He is our comforter. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is our strengthener. That conversation with Peter on the beach that Jesus has, where he just very gently engages with him. And then if we see where Peter goes from there, he waits with the disciples, and we will look at that over the next few weeks. The Holy Spirit comes in power. And then Peter, this guy who denied Jesus three times, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches, and 3,000 people decide to follow Jesus. Why? Because he had been strengthened. He had been strengthened. And I'm sure I can tell you story after story in my own life where there have been times where I've thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need you, Jesus. And I've been able to do it. And maybe it hasn't been as glorious as I would have imagined it would be, but I've been able to do the thing because he lives in us and he brings us strength. The final thing, and then I want us to pray. I say the final thing. It's not going to take 2 minutes, just so you know. The final thing is counselor. Counselor is the one I want to look at. Counselor is a good word. If you think of going to counseling, and that's okay. I'm not knocking counseling. I think counseling is really good. But you can have a concept that you've got an issue that you want to talk through or something that you want to deal with. You'll go to the counselor, and the counselor will make you feel better. And then you'll leave. And then you'll leave, and after one session, of course not, eventually it'll all be sorted. But I don't want us to think about that in regards to the Holy Spirit, because that's not the purpose of a counselor. Tyler Staton, who's a pastor in America, he leads prayer 24/7 in America, actually. He points out that the role of a counselor is to ask deep, probing questions, to bring things in us that are hidden to the surface so that we will be able to deal with them. That's one of the purposes of a counselor. And when Jesus says, the counselor, I will send another helper, another like me, the counselor, it isn't so we'll feel nice and cozy and get the tinglies. Those moments are great. But the counselor will ask deep probing questions to bring things in us to the surface so that we can deal with them. Someone pointed out that in the Bible, Jesus was asked 183 questions, roughly. I didn't count this myself because I didn't have time to do it yesterday. 183 questions. And apparently Jesus only exactly directly answers three of those questions. Yeah. People ask Jesus a question and then he would talk about something else because the question wasn't the point for Jesus. It was the heart behind the question. And so Jesus would go down the, what is the heart behind this question? 183 questions people asked Jesus. Jesus is recorded as asking over 300 questions. The counselor will ask you questions to bring what's in you out so that you can see it, and so that you can deal with it, and so that you can be made whole. Here are some of the questions that Jesus asked, and some of the questions that maybe he may be asking some of us this morning. I looked at the list, and I only picked four. First one, why are you so afraid? Second one, do you believe that I am able to do this? Third one, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Fourth one, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It doesn't sound very comfortable, does it? I mean, I don't feel comfortable reading those questions, to be honest. It's not very, I don't feel, Jesus loves me. But I do know that he loves me. Because he's asking me questions that will make me think about the things that come out of my mouth and the things that happen in my heart. Let me tell you one that Jesus asked me once. I'll tell you two. I was walking across a field, and I was worshiping, and I was just saying stuff. And and sometimes we can get to this place where we end up just using phrases that we've used over and over again, and that's okay, because if it's true, it's always true, yeah? So that's what I was doing. So the phrase that I said was, "Jesus, I love you." I'm walking through a field. I remember where I was. It's one of those moments where you remember where you were. "Jesus, I love you." And I felt a question. And I knew that it was a question because I was in this moment of worship and then something just cut across my thinking. And this is all Jesus said. All the Holy Spirit said to me, "Why?" I'm in a field and I remember stopping in the middle of this field. It was like a cut through field over a little fence bit to get to another part of the town that I was walking through. And I remember stopping in the middle of the field and composing myself, and then I had to answer the question because I was in the flow. I was in the flow. But then, why? Then I had to think, why do I love you, Jesus? And then I had to answer the question. Sometimes we need that kind of question to cut across what we're doing and what we're thinking to actually address, is this really true in you? Or are you just saying stuff? One more. I have loads because I feel this is how God speaks to me the most. Just asking me questions and makes me think, really? Do I have to think about this? When Ethan was little, you all know the story. When Ethan was a baby and he got a scan, we saw from the scan that he had no left hand. So there was lots of prayer happening, masses of prayer, as you can imagine. Because we believe that Jesus can do miracles. Absolutely, he can. And so we're praying that when Ethan was born, that he would have two hands. And we prayed a lot. We laid hands on Lisa's belly a lot. I say we. I did that. Otherwise, it's weird. There wasn't like a cue. It's all right. And so that's what we did. Right up until when Ethan was born and he came out and he still didn't have a left hand, but he was amazing. And so there wasn't any bitterness, but there was a question. This is what we asked for, God, and this has not happened. I say there was a question. Lisa had settled it already because she'd had her conversation with God, but I hadn't settled it. There was still a question, yeah. So I remember, again, one of those moments, I remember where it was. I was driving home from work. And I was just thinking, I wasn't saying anything out loud, I was just thinking, yeah, this is a little bit tough because we prayed for something, and we've prayed for stuff before, and stuff has happened, and you've answered, but this is what we prayed for, and this hasn't happened. And that was my thoughts. And then I had a question. The counselor asked me a question, and this was the question. And again, I knew that it was a question because it cut through what I was thinking. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it cut through what I was thinking. And this was a question. And what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And I didn't have an answer. I actually didn't have an answer. Because you can say, in those moments, you can say all the things that you know you should say. Well, I continue to follow you, obviously, because you are sovereign. You can say all the things that you know you should say, but in a moment where the counselor asks you a question, you know that you can't faff around with useless words, that you have to answer truthfully. And I didn't have an answer until I got home. So I was driving home from work. I was just thinking about the question, examining my own heart, thinking about it. And I got home. And when I got home, I sat on the drive. And these thoughts came to me. What do I do when you don't do what I ask? What do I do when it seems like you haven't come through? Tell me, where do I go when the answer is no? When I don't understand, I won't let go of your hand. Help me trust you. Help me trust you. And that was my response. I trust you. It is tough because I asked hard and long, and it hasn't gone the way that I wanted to go, but help me trust you. And that was my resolution. Help me trust you. And I felt that that was okay. And I felt with God's presence that was okay. I have no regrets because Ethan is amazing. He's never had a trouble. He ties his shoelaces. Who does that with one hand? Ethan does. Help me trust you was my response. And so when Jesus says, I will send you another helper, he meant comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, counselor. And over these next few weeks, there's a prayer that I'm going to teach you that I want you to get used to praying. I know that some of you will say, oh, my memory's not that good. I can't remember loads of things. It'll be fine. I'm going to put it up on the screen in a minute so that we can learn it together. But I want us to get used to praying this because I want us to, in those moments where we think, oh, this is tough, I want us to remember, yeah, but he is my comforter. He is my advocate. He is my intercessor. He is my strengthener. He is my counselor. I want us to remember this. So this is the prayer that I want us to memorize. Come, Holy Spirit. Are we okay memorizing that? Come, Holy Spirit. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever time of the day it is, whatever conversation you're about to have, whatever work you're about to face, whatever difficult circumstance you're in, whatever joyous circumstance you're in, when things are going well, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In fact, let's close our eyes. We'll do that now. Just in your heart, where you are, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. Someone here this morning, and you've gone through a really tough circumstance, and you kind of feel like God has left you. He hasn't. He is your comforter. You just need to lean into him. His presence is not necessarily a feeling, but it is a fact. He is with you. He is with you.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.